BBC News with Sue Montgomery. Venezuela's exiled opposition presidential candidate Edmundo González has accused Nicolas Maduro of crowning himself a dictator after he was sworn in for a third term. He urged the military to disregard what he called illegal orders from President Maduro.
Maduro has violated the constitution and the sovereign will of Venezuelans expressed on July 28. He's carried out a coup d'etat and does not have the support of the people. And he doesn't have the backing of countries that believe in a democracy.
Mr. González claims to be the true winner of last July's election. He had planned to return to Venezuela by Friday, but has stayed away because of safety concerns. Los Angeles police have warned against looting in areas abandoned by tens of thousands of people fleeing wildfires, which are still burning in and around the city. Mandatory evacuation orders have left properties empty and vulnerable to criminals. The emergency services say they're making progress in tackling the blazes, in part because the winds have eased. The Biden administration in its final days in office has announced its broadest package of sanctions so far, targeting Russia's oil and gas revenues. More than 200 entities and individuals are affected, as well as over 180 vessels suspected of the clandestine shipping of Russian oil. President Biden said it was important that Vladimir Putin be denied any breathing room in his war against Ukraine.
The sanctions are imposed today because they will have profound effect on the growth of the Russian economy and make it more difficult for Putin to conduct his wars. It is probable that gas prices could increase as much as 3-4 cents a gallon, but it's going to have a more profound impact on Russia's ability to continue to act in the way it's acting in the conduct of war.
Justices at the U.S. Supreme Court have signaled they're likely to uphold a law that would ban TikTok in the United States if it isn't sold by its Chinese parent company. Representatives of the social media platform appeared before the court on Friday in a last-ditch effort to overturn a ban. Here's Lily Jamali.
The argument is that ownership by a Chinese entity creates opportunities for manipulation by way of the types of content that is served up on the app to users here, as well as data harvesting. The justices here actually seemed quite animated by the concept that that data could be harnessed by China for intelligence purposes. And so, generally speaking, the consensus view is that the justices seem poised to keep this law in place, which would mean that the ban would take effect on January 19th.
BBC News. Donald Trump has protested his innocence after he was handed the most lenient possible sentence for covering up hush money payments to a porn star. Speaking via video link, the incoming US president said he was the victim of the weaponization of the judicial system by his opponents. He's received an unconditional discharge, meaning he won't face jail time or a fine. Mexico has launched a nationwide program offering cash to gun owners who hand in their weapons in an attempt to cut the murder rate. President Claudia Sheinbaum said she wanted young people to reject violence as a way of life. Here's our Latin America regional editor, Clitzia Sala.
President Sheinbaum chose the Basilica of Guadalupe in Mexico City to announce the weapons program. Churches will be central to the scheme. They are trusted spaces in violence-hit regions like Guerrero, Guanajuato and Chiapas. Those who turn in their guns will each receive over $1,200 with no questions asked about the source of the weapons. Children handing in toy guns will be given educational games instead. Critics argue it won't stop organized crime from accessing weapons, but the government says a trial of the program in Mexico City dramatically reduced gun-related violence.
The Brazilian government has questioned Meta's decision to stop using fact-checkers in the United States. It's given the parent company of Facebook, Instagram, Threads and WhatsApp 3 days to explain how the proposed changes would affect Brazilian users. One of the world's biggest banks, JP Morgan Chase, has confirmed it expects all its staff to return to the office, ending 5 years of regular remote working caused by the COVID pandemic. The bank, which has over 300,000 staff worldwide, said a 5-day working week in the office would begin in March. BBC News.